Well, as many of you probably know, I work in the construction industry. I'm a project manager for a drywall company, and I work on all kinds of jobs, all sizes of jobs. We do remodels, we do small, we do large, but we are mainly commercial. So the commercial industry here lately has been very busy. Just like you talk to anybody these days, everyone is super busy. Doesn't really matter what you're into. Right now, things are really going well. And so we have all kinds of projects going on. I've been, like I said, very busy. And I've had lots of projects to manage. And one consistent theme on all the projects that I've been on lately is that this project is on an accelerated schedule. We're really in a big hurry on this job. You know, we really need you guys to perform when you get here. What can you do for us? So schedules are always a really tricky thing to maintain. They slip along the way all the time, starting right out at the beginning. Sometimes the general contractors and the builders have trouble getting permits right out of the gate. So we have to wait for those for a while. And then there's all kinds of changes that happened with the architect and answers that they needed to get. Didn't know if we needed to fireproof the whole lid or just the red iron beams, and it took a long time to get those answers. And then I've heard, you know, the roofers couldn't get the materials that they needed. They needed these specially cut angled foam, and they couldn't get those, so we delayed that. But anyhow, by the time I actually get onto the job, I'm already late. I'm already behind schedule, and I haven't even started my phase of the job. And so there is a massive crunch. It is panic time. It is very urgent. And they want to know, when can we start our painter? You know, I haven't even started hanging any drywall yet, but you know, when do you think we'll be able to get the painter going? Well, when is the insulation going to be done and the windows show up? And how about these can lights that are missing? And, you know, there's just, but it's a sense of absolute urgency, and we want to cram everyone in here and get this thing going. Then they want to know, how many guys can you give me? And is it possible that you guys could possibly work a little overtime and maybe some weekend work? So it's just this constant strife in my life, anyhow, it seems like. And I often wonder, where was this sense of urgency like 6 weeks, 6 months ago, possibly? You know, if we had had that back then. But I call a lot of times on jobs and ask, you know, how's it coming? Well, they say, you know, we haven't been able to get our permit yet, and we still got this and that. But they kind of forget about that, and nobody wants to look back at what the problem is. Right now, the focus is, we got to move ahead, we got to get this thing done. And so that, having that urgency back then, we don't even want to talk about that. It's hard to have a balance, because at the end date, there is an end date, and it's hard to have that sense of urgency in the beginning because it seems so far off. It seems like, well, we've got plenty of time to finish this project. But that can happen to us also in our lives and in our spiritual lives as well, especially in our spiritual lives. We can let down a little when there isn't that looming deadline over us, or when we aren't facing any real tests in our life at that time. But we do know that there is an end date coming, brethren, just like there's always an end date to construction projects. It reminds me of a scripture in Proverbs chapter 29 that we'll start out with today. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. It's a very familiar scripture that we've all read many times, but Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 reads, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." And it's phrased a little differently in a couple of other different translations. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." And the Berean Study Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." The tendency is, when people lose focus on the end date, they let up on the gas pedal a little. When we don't feel that pressure, we tend to let up, to relax a little, to get distracted by other things in our lives, and that is very dangerous for us spiritually. One great key to this endurance race of faith that we're in is maintaining a sense of urgency. It's a crucial part of our finishing the race, and it's what I'd like to look at today. Maintaining a sense of urgency. There's a little bit of water here. As we just read in Proverbs, our tendency is to cast off restraint when we lose sight of the big picture. It's really part of our human nature, and it has been since the beginning. Last week, Mr. Sexton came and visited us, and he read a scripture in his sermon that went right along with what I was preparing today. In Genesis chapter 32, he read, we don't have to turn there, but he read in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 1, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed his coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that we should go before us, that should go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him.'" And it struck me because he said Moses delayed his coming. So it was the finish date had been slowed back. And what happens? The people immediately, which is hard to believe, it's an extreme example, but they immediately gathered up all their gold and started creating another god to worship, which it's hard to believe, but Moses had delayed his coming, so restraint was cast off. The people didn't know what happened. So one key is not losing that vision, not forgetting the big picture, and having in mind at all times that finish line, that finish date. In his book, Discipline Equals Freedom, A Field Manual, retired Navy SEAL Jocko Willink writes in his book, under focus, he writes, "In combat, focus comes pretty easily because the battle is right in front of your face. But sometimes in day-to-day life, you can lose track of the long-term goal. It fades from your vision. It slips from your mind." Does this happen to us in our spiritual life? "Wrong," he says. "I want that long-term goal to be so embedded in my mind that I never lose sight of it, ever. And the little tasks and the projects, the short-term goals that you tackle, need to lead towards that strategic victory, winning the long war. But we want results now. We want the shortcut to the winner's podium," he says. "We need the instant gratification, and when we don't get the short-term glory, sometimes we lose sight of those long-term goals. They fade. We lose focus. We stop the daily tasks and the daily disciplines that will allow us to achieve our goals." And what are those tasks for us spiritually? Mr. Moody's given us several sermons about all of them: the prayer, the Bible study, fasting, meditating, fellowshipping. And so a day will slip by, and then another day, and a day turns into a week into a year, and you look up in 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years, and you've made no progress, he says. None. You never moved. In fact, you might be even further from your goal than you were when you started. You might have gone backwards. Why? Why did you let that happen? Because you lost sight of it. You lost sight of the long-term goal, and it faded. It faded from memory, and passion dried up, and you began to rationalize. Well, maybe I can't. Maybe I don't really want to. Maybe this goal isn't for me. And so you give up. You let it go, and you settle. You settle for status quo. You settle for the easy road. You settle for, oh well. No, he says, don't do that. Embed that long-term goal in your mind. Burn it in your soul. Think about it. Write about it. Talk about it. And we know it says when you lie down and when you rise up. He says, hang it up on your wall. But most important, do something about it every day. Every day, do something that moves you towards that goal, that keeps that goal alive and in sight and in focus. However small or insignificant that step might seem, take it. Do it. Make it happen. Because that goal isn't going to achieve itself. He says, it's all on you. That is maintaining a sense of urgency, staying focused on that long-term goal and constantly moving towards it. Well, many of you have heard of Stephen Covey. He's written a lot of management books, and he has what he's come up with, this time management matrix. And it's basically four quadrants. If you drew a line down and a line over, you end up with four boxes. And at the top two boxes, you have urgent and not urgent. And on the right or the left side, you would have important, and under that box, unimportant. So quadrant one is important and urgent. And that, for us, is major trials. That is something that is important, and it's right now, it's in our face. It's the war, as Jocko Willink was writing about. We're focused on it when we go through a trial, especially fiery trials, which we could talk to Mr. and Mrs. Main about. This week they had a fire on their property. I'm sure they were intently focused on that. It was urgent, Roger wasn't saying, well, I maybe I'll go up and look at that fire, but I was also wanting to put a little coat of wax on the Maverick. You know, that didn't happen when it's urgent like that. It's pressing, and all your focus is on that. So that's quadrant number one. But when that trial's over, we tend to relax. That's our human nature tends to kind of let up a little bit. And the pitfall is that we lose our sense of urgency, and we end up down in quadrant three, which is it's urgent but not important. Things in our lives that are urgent to us but not important are like getting home in time to watch that TV show that we really desperately need to see. You know, it's urgent to us, but is it really important? Not really. Or we can also fall into the fourth quadrant, which is not important and not urgent, which would find us on the couch binge watching a show or just surfing the web, you know, just absolutely wasting time. We don't want to be down in quadrant four. What we really need to do is end up in quadrant number two, which is important, but it's not urgent, at least not yet. This is staying diligently focused on the long-term goal. This requires maintaining a sense of urgency, which we're talking about today. That is what quadrant two is all about. Now I'd like to look at a couple of examples of quadrant two diligence in the Bible. First, we'll take a look from a physical perspective. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, looking into living in quadrant number two, which is very important, but it isn't urgent at the moment. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Well, physically, we need to be diligent like the ant. And it can be hard to do. I know. I mean, this is something I definitely struggle with myself. I tend to be a procrastinator on things, and I don't like that about myself. It's something I'm constantly working on. But it takes a lot of self-discipline to be like the ant, which is the absolute opposite of casting off restraint. The ant continually marches forward and is diligent. Constant, careful effort. That is living in quadrant two. Diligently working on important things so that when winter comes or the deadline, it'll be ready and there won't be any crisis or any stress. Keeping our house in order, looking ahead, planning for the future in our physical lives, that even includes creating a will. That's something that is very important, but it's never really urgent. So a lot of times we don't really get around to preparing a will. Or like same with life savings. No, what am I trying to say? Life insurance. Thank you. Same thing, where it's very important, but you never really think about it until you really need it, and boy, then it's important at the deadline. Well, let's look at it from a spiritual the deadline from a spiritual perspective as well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll start reading in verse number 36, and we'll read down through 39. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So we see that there wasn't a sense of urgency in Noah's time whatsoever. People were just living life normally. No one had their eyes focused on what Noah was focused on, that's for sure. And so it came upon them suddenly. No one was prepared. No one was ready. And we know what happened there. Let's continue on in Matthew 24. We'll drop down to verse 44. Read to the end there in 51. So verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my servant is delaying his coming, which we mentioned earlier, he's delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come in a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Once again, we see the servant thinking, well, you know, my master is delaying his coming, so they don't have that sense of urgency. Well, how much time do we have, brethren? As it said there in verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but God only. It could be way out there. You know, our finish line might be a long time from now when the master returns. But we can't really afford to think that way, because none of us know how long we have collectively as humanity or individually. We don't know when that finish line could abruptly come up for us. Our own finish line will come. All of a sudden, your time's up. You know, this is it. I've always heard that we should live our lives physically like we're going to be around for the long haul, but spiritually live like this is it. So how would we live if we knew that the end was at hand, that this was our hour, it was about to take place? Well, that is a main key to maintaining a sense of urgency. To have that thought in mind, this helps us not cast off restraint, but maintain focus. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How far that? Yes. So, as we all know, it's an individual journey for each of us. We all have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. It's different for each of us. But it says to work on it with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We just read this not very long ago. Of course, I say that a lot because we read a lot. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. All of us are going to give account when the time comes. Well, that can be a fearful thing. It's something to keep in mind on a daily basis. The finish line, the end, when it gets real and we will all give account. What happens when we let down a little or we lose our fear a little bit? The Bible has a lot to say about the right and proper fear of the Lord. Again, it is a key to our staying close to God and staying motivated. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, speaking of, we're looking into the fear of the Lord. There's quite a few verses we can turn to, but I'll turn to a few here. Proverbs chapter 1, and we read verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We can turn to Psalms chapter 36 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgressions of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. We see the wicked don't have that fear. They don't have the fear of the Lord keeping them on the right path. Psalms 111, again, talking about the fear of the Lord, a right and proper respect for God. Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Well, having a solid respect for our God, a right and a proper fear of God, is a real key to maintaining our sense of urgency. So, a few keys to maintaining a sense of urgency that we've looked at so far are keeping our focus on the long term or the vision, staying diligent, and having a right respect or fear of God. But what happens when we lose our sense of urgency? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Back to Matthew again. Reading Christ's words in Matthew chapter 25. And we'll start in verse 1. Read the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, again we see here the bridegroom's delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Well, afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered to them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The foolish virgins, as we read, lost their sense of urgency. Somewhere along the way, they lost that, and they weren't prepared with the oil when it was required of them. It's a lot like not diligently preparing for a race. And I've done a lot of racing over the years, bike racing, road racing. And it's a lot like being in shape for a race like that. I know I've experienced both ways of it. I've been out of shape for races. I've been really in shape for races. Many years ago, trained for a Bloomsday, and I was a young man then, so I did pretty well at it. It went great. And then afterwards, a friend of mine is a bike racer, and he said he really wanted to do this race coming up, and it was the Post Falls Duathlon, which is a run, a bike, and a run. So we were going to do it as a team. I was going to do the running part, and he was going to do the bike part. And, you know, I just finished Bloomsday. I'd had one of my best times, and I was feeling really good about it. So I said, "Sure, yeah, you know, I'll do that." Well, it was another 3 months down the road. And in the meantime there, I lost my sense of urgency, and I didn't really train very much. But this race was a short one. It was a 5K, and then he rode his bike, and then another 5K. So that's 3 miles in the beginning, 3 miles in the end. Bloomsday's 7, so I thought, well, 3, piece of cake. So we take off to the race, and I take off just like I had finished the Bloomsday in my mind. I mean, I'm running just like I did then, feeling really good. In fact, feeling so good, pretty soon I am in first place. I'm out in front of everybody. I passed everybody. I'm like, "Oh, I really am feeling good." And in my mind, I'm like, "Well, there's mile one. I'm probably about a mile and a half into this thing now. I'm probably about 2 miles." And there goes the 1 mile marker. You know, like, what? You got to be kidding. Now panic. Oh, brother, I'm not ready for this. And then, I mean, just getting passed left and right. And I just died. By the time I got to the transition, my buddy just took off like crazy, and I went around to the back of the restroom area, gonna throw up, you know, just nauseous. And I'm thinking, well, I'm gonna have to explain to my buddy, there is no way that I'm gonna be able to finish this. You know, I can't run the second leg, I can't even move. But he was out there for a while on the bike, and so I thought I better get ready because a couple people were coming in, and here he comes. I mean, he's in like second place. He's made up all that time that I lost, and he's like, "Go, go, go," where I was going to be like, "Hey, I don't think I should," you know, but he shoved me right out there, and away I go, only this time I really maintained composure. I didn't go out like that, and I made it. But I mean, I was just not in shape, and it was just amazingly evident that I hadn't trained. You can't fake that kind of thing. You cannot fake being in shape. You also can't borrow shape from someone else on the race, you know, like you can't get oil. You just can't do that. And so you either have it or you don't. And when the test comes, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll read verse 14. 2 Peter 3. And verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." Am I reading the right thing? 2 Peter. I'm in 1st. There we go. 2 Peter. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent." It's critical to be diligent, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Diligence, that constant, careful effort, is required by us to be prepared for the test, the trial, or the finish line. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, First Thessalonians chapter 5, and we can read verse 1. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We have been warned, brethren. God is giving us an opportunity to make ready for the return of His Son, or for our end line. We need to ask God to help us build a sense of urgency. None of us know how much time we have. We don't know when the deadline will be, but we do know that there is one, and that we can't let it overtake us as a thief. We need to be living in that second quadrant, staying focused with a right and proper respect and fear, practicing diligence. We must maintain a sense of urgency."